This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell with Mafia and Carver High. Do you think O'Reilly Auto Parts is the greatest thing ever? Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212. For CBS. So, Mafia, I was just looking at the plays tonight.
Oh, you're hot tonight.
I am hot. Right? Except for the Mets. But they got the bases loaded here in the sixth. Two outs. Can they do anything with this? They haven't done anything all year.
My count by right now, you are 10-2 with games that are decided or pretty much decided because one team's getting their ass kicked.
So I'm already 10-2.
Pretty much.
Here's how much you know.
And I was 10-3 last night.
And yeah, the Cubs were about to close out this game.
Mafia has let the ship sail on the Met season. Doesn't have the Met game on in here.
Ship sailed.
Ship has sailed. Mafia says no to the Met game. He's got other things going on.
What does he got going on?
We got Minnesota Dodgers and the Battle of Chicago because those are the game. The Cub White Sox game is the one that's closer to closing out, so I was looking at that one.
They
the
got
picks.
Out of the jam. They had the bases loaded with two outs. They got nothing.
Of course, the Mets suck. Right before I was going to switch over, too.
How about that Irvin Santana I got rocketed plus $1.92?
Remember when I laughed at you last night when you told me you were going to take Irvin Santana tonight?
Yeah, but I have no faith in their ability to win this game, even in the seventh inning up three runs.
I think there's some time left.
Cubs just close it for your 11th win.
So that's 11 wins tonight. I'm 11-2 out of 13 out of 15 games. Last night I went 10-3. I got to tell you, my PharrellOnABench.com baseball picks really suck on a nightly basis. I mean, I'm hitting so many games and making people so much money in the summer when no one cares about anything except, like, how could you not care if I was making you that much cash? All I do is hit winners and make people money. I mean, between my bets and the fantasy rosters, are you kidding? We're like a cash cow. What I'm more surprised about is the haunted house squeaky door is still in action, full on, Carver High. Are you a little surprised after my diatribe last night that there was no response from anyone? Shows you how many people around here listen to the show. So coming up this very hour, the legendary, I mean, larger than life, just gargantuan return of serve. Bob Sturm is back on the bench coming up here in about 13 minutes. Tremendous leadership role on the show. One of the all-time greats. From Bad Radio in Dallas on the Ticket. Great station, great people, great leaders.
Hanging in Cali.
Chilling the most in Cali. So it'll be like 9:20 Cali time. And he's just absolutely Darcy Rhoda in Oxnard. He's larger than life. Ethan in South Carolina.
Frail Shigadoo.
Oh, shaggy.
Hey, I'm pulling into my local watering hole. How about pour me a road soda real quick?
He's pulling in to get hammered at his club. Wants a starter kit. Here we go. Starter kit.
Oh, so delicious. So I want to know, yeah, they got clobbered tonight, but what do you think my Braves about making a wild card?
Well, I mean, let's look at it, like, in terms of their chances to get a wild card. I would say they're 8.5. Is that accurate? 8.5 out of a wild card. I give them no chance.
Sugarcoat it now.
Well, I mean, I have to tell it like it is. Look, I think they've had a really good season. I don't think anyone thought that they would be, you know, four games under 500, but they actually, what's been happening lately is they've been tanking. So
Yeah. They were hot there for a little bit.
They sent Dansby Swanson down today. That's a bad sign. He was their, you know, star player that they brought up last year, and now all of a sudden he's going back down for some refurbishing. He's hitting 209.
Well, I gotta tell you, well, since you already told me that, I gotta tell you, you have just sold me on Frell on the Bench picks. I think I'm about to go make that cheddar.
Listen, it's simple.
Like, do it.
Last night, 10-3. Right now, I'm 11-2 tonight. This is merely on a Tuesday and Wednesday night. Just another night at the office for us of cashing for people. And it's simple. It's the greatest thing ever.
I love you.
Dirt cheap. And then the results. I made your money back for the month, Mafia, in 5 minutes tonight.
Absolutely.
That's that. 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, you make a boatload of money, and you give me nothing. It's a great deal. So, 3 wins in 10 for the Braves. Their season's, like, fading faster than a melted ice cream cone.
Finished.
JK in D.C., you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Burrell, your obedient servant. I believe I'm one of your sober callers. At least I hope so.
Awesome. Somebody's got to be.
Have a spigot? Do you have a spigot for pomegranate juice? I like that.
I do like pomegranate juice. I have a pomegranate San Pellegrino rocking right now in my bag. I'm going to pull out here in about 10 minutes.
Let me hear the bubbles. I don't know. Hey, listen, you talk about money. I have Chipper Jones's rookie card. That's worth a few bucks, isn't it?
Oh, I love Chipper Jones. He's the man.
What do you think?
Oh, I don't know what it's worth. His rookie card, I'm guessing not worth that much money. I don't know. I have no idea. Like, what am I? I don't know card show prices. I don't know what they sell these things for. I've never been a card collector. Credit card collector I have.
You champion some less appreciated sports like soccer and also horse racing. You know the Haskells coming up this Sunday out in Monmouth Park.
Right, I love the Haskell, and then
the field is 7 horses, champions.
So who's going to win it?
Well, I made a lot of money on the Wood Memorial with Irish War Cry. You know, in Belmont they were saying Morag was scared. You know, if he didn't get the horse at least second in the race, they weren't going to let him. The trainers weren't going to let him ride their mounts anymore. So he might be a good bet. But if you got Mike Smith on that crazy horse, Hence, that could be a real ringer.
Well, sweet. I know that's coming up. And then this spa at Saratoga, is that season's about to go, isn't it?
You know, this Haskell is the one in Monmouth. That's this Sunday. I think the Travers is the biggest race at Saratoga.
Right. That's at Saratoga. But that's in August.
Yeah, the very end of the month. It's like the big blowout, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's some great races coming up. I love it. It's awesome. I'll be betting on those when I'm in Vegas. I'm glad you called, though. I'm glad you like the MLS. I was just trying to find out, like, I really don't have the standings in it. Do you have it? Like the standings, Carver High? In that league?
The MLS?
Yeah.
I do have them.
What are they?
Well, there's 11 teams in each league. There's an East and Western Conference.
Okay, so who's winning?
Well, in the Eastern Conference, Toronto's in first right now with 40 points.
Right.
Followed by Chicago, NYCFC, Atlanta in fourth in their expansion season.
Is that right?
The New Jersey Red Bulls in fifth. Columbus, Orlando, Philly, Montreal, New England, and then DC United at the bottom of the East.
DC United at the bottom. Wasn't that Bruce Arena's place?
Yes. Well, long ago. Bruce Arena was LA Galaxy for the most part.
All right.
And in the West, Dallas is in the lead, followed by Sporting KC, Houston, Portland.
Who's in the
Seattle.
Lead in the West?
Dallas, FC Dallas.
What about the Seattle team and the Portland team?
They are fourth and fifth right now in the Western Conference.
Who won it all last year?
Seattle beat Toronto in the final,
That's
if
right.
I remember correctly.
So they find themselves in fourth?
Yes. So Portland's in fourth, Seattle's in fifth.
By the way, I believe the most valuable of Chipper Jones's rookie cards at this point is worth a whopping $6.
I told you, I didn't think it was worth any money.
Not yet. If you got every single card that they put out about him, then it's worth like $124,000, but that's a whole lot of cards.
You'd have to have every card they made about him?
Every Chipper Jones card, yeah.
I mean, who's got time for that? Honestly. Who's got time for it?
Who's got time?
I'm sorry. It is what it is.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Who's got time? Who's got time to spend their life looking for Chipper Jones cards? You think they're listening in Atlanta tonight, Mafia?
Feels good to mingle with these laid-back country folks.
Oh, that was great. Who's got time for that?
Honestly.
Who's got time to collect Chipper Jones baseball cards? Mean it! Do you think we'll make it through the show tonight?
I don't know. It's 50-50 at best right now.
There's people, more action out front, some guy playing dice on the street corner.
I think Sturm's going to give us a little shot in the arm here at 12:20.
Well, that's coming up. So Bob Sturm, the effervescent Bob Sturm, he is fantastic. We'll get him on the bench next from Oxnard, California, at the Dallas Cowboys opening of their training camp and all of the drama that goes with the star. And a lot of people talking about Dak overrated on this show last night. A lot of people talking about Dez Bryant. A lot of people talking about that guy, Blackhead. What was it? Today I was driving to the Whitehead went to the Jets. I'm driving to my basketball game tonight, and Chop is in the car, and she goes, "Oh, my God, what is that?" And I had, like, a zit on the side of my nose. I'm like, "I don't know. It's a zit or something." And she was like, "Oh, my God." Because I'm old. I don't really, knock on wood, get zits. But when I do get one, apparently it's a story. When I get something on my face, it's a big revelation. It's a story. We'll hopefully not talk about that with Bob Sturm coming up next on the bench. But then Mafia hits me in the side of the head with this. I'm excited for tomorrow's 8 baseball games because I hit so many games the last 2 days. I'm already over 21 winners and 5 losses, 21-5 in the last 2 nights in baseball. There's no one better at hitting winners than me. Thursday, you got Milwaukee, Washington, Cincinnati, Miami, Arizona, St. Louis, New York and San Diego, Anaheim, Cleveland, Oakland, Toronto, Tampa, Yankees, the best game, and then Chicago on the south side in a battle at a windy city. Get every pick for every game at PharrellOnTheBench.com. All I do is make people money. Our daily fantasy rosters kill. Boxing and MMA snags are top shelf. Best price, best results, bar none. Pro and college football coming soon. Sign up today, PharrellOnTheBench.com.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
Wow, we've been praising all night the return of a leader of men, a champion of all causes, the effervescent, the king, the master of ceremonies, ringleader, bass fisherman, beer-drinking barbecue specialist, genius, talented, entertaining, the return of serve, the return of glory, the return of Bad Radio's Bob Sturm from the Ticket in Dallas to the Bench is a huge summertime event. It's bigger than life, Mr. Sturm.
That was insane, even by your standards, Scotty.
Dude, you are back in Oxnard, Cali, styling with sunblock on and some sunglasses and a little visor going out to the star to support the star and rep the ticket at the Cowboys training camp. It is on.
It sure is. It's happened again. We're back at training camp, man, and it's as nuts as ever for the Cowboys. You know that.
What is the deal? So you got a guy, one of your draft picks, Lewis, just got off on domestic violence. Those charges were dropped. And then earlier in the week, you got the Whitehead saga. What did they do to that guy? He's with the Jets all of a sudden, but, I mean, he said they called him a liar and everything else. What did they do to that guy?
Well, he was on thin ice when camp started. So, and this goes back to, I don't know if you remember, I think week 14, Sunday night at Giants Stadium, the Cowboys went up there and had a rough night. But one of the details about that game that people don't know about was that Lucky Whitehead was not with the team because they left him back in Dallas because he missed a meeting back then. And I think that was the week after he had a pretty big fumble in Minnesota. So he was on thin ice for a number of reasons, both public and not, so much so that they drafted his replacement in the fourth round, North Carolina's Ryan Switzer, to take his job. And so he was invited to camp. And if Switzer or maybe Cole Beasley blew out their knee, Lucky Whitehead would have made the 2017 Cowboys. If that did not happen, he wasn't making this team. And they were replacing him for kind of being an ordinary return guy in the first place, but then one who comes with a fair amount of headaches. And so this bizarre thing that happened that I think maybe broke on TMZ, which is just so Cowboys of us, you know, that was like the last straw because it came the day after, you know, the media just pounding Jerry with questions after questions on why so many incidents with arrests and then, you know, suspensions. And it's just, you know, it's more of the same here. So they cut him, of course, with about 3 seconds of thought behind it. Maybe they conducted an investigation. Maybe they just said, you know what, there's been 99 issues with this guy. This is 100. Let's get him out of here. And then, of course, it turns out that at least as of this moment, many are suggesting that he had nothing to do with it. And so they look stupid because they can't even cut a guy right. But, you know, whatever the case, he's now a member of the New York Jets. The Cowboys weren't keeping him. They were obviously looking for an excuse to let him go. So they look kind of dumb from that standpoint. But at the same time, you know, like I said, his days were numbered down to a few weeks. So maybe this is actually better for him to get onto his new place where he might have a chance of making the Jets. I don't know.
What a disaster they are. He'll fit right in with those losers. The unchallenged Bob Sturm is with us. So Dak Prescott, the audacity of Pete Prisco of CBS to say he's overrated got people talking about it last night here, and then today all day I saw on television people asking the same question. But I heard that he opened up camp looking slick as ever.
Yeah, you know, he's a fantastically you know what, I think that's a great adjective. Slick is a great way to say it, because Dak Prescott does not do magic tricks. He does not use sleight of hand. He simply makes the smart read and the right throw, and he does it in a very sort of easy-looking way. And he's been blessed. Let's not kid ourselves. Very few quarterbacks as rookies get a chance to play with an offensive line that's loaded with all pros. And I'm not saying pro bowlers. I'm saying all pros, Scotty. Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin. You're not going to get better than that. And then you come into the league and you got Ezekiel Elliott at running back, and you have Dez Bryant at wide receiver, and you have Jason Witten at tight end. I mean, it would be fun to play quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, for any quarterback. And now you bring in a guy like Prescott who has dual threat ability. He can certainly tuck it and run. He can put the passes on the money. And most importantly, and this is lost a lot of times when we discuss whether he's overrated or not, he makes the proper quarterback decisions. And that's really what the position's all about. It's between the ears. Are you smart, or are you going to get us beat? And Dak Prescott is a very smart quarterback. And that's why last year he threw 4 interceptions, maybe 2 or 3 more potential interceptions, but he just never put the ball in harm's way. So I'm not saying he's always going to be able to do that, but the early indications are he is taking advantage of the advantages of being the Cowboys quarterback, which is don't do anything dumb, make the throws we need, keep the chains moving, and the rest will take care of itself with that offensive line and that running back. So is he overrated? I mean, everybody associated with the most famous team or most valuable franchise in team sports is probably going to get heavily rated and then therefore overrated from time to time. But I think a lot of it goes down to what are you going to do with those advantages? Are you going to get this team beat or not? And in that playoff game against Green Bay, which they lost,
right,
they probably should have won, that wasn't on Prescott at all. I thought Prescott had a really good day. He had 1 pick, three interceptions, over 300 yards, put the ball in the money, and was solid throughout. And maybe wasn't Aaron Rodgers, but he wasn't much worse.
I thought he was brilliant in that comeback. The unequal Bob Sturm is on a bench from a Cowboys training camp. How about Jalen Smith, the linebacker out of Notre Dame, finally putting pads on for the first time since blowing out his knee? It has to get the Cowboys licking their chops. That guy's a talent.
Oh, yeah. Jalen Smith was so good at Notre Dame. And then, of course, that horrible injury that was basically 18 months ago. And now, I'm not saying he's completely healthy. I don't think he's saying he's completely healthy, but he looks good enough to play. We'll see. There's a difference between can you play and can you play at a Jalen Smith pre-injury level, which appeared to be maybe he can be, you know, another Luke Kuechly or another Bobby Wagner, you know, just a sideline-to-sideline terror right next to Sean Lee in the linebacking core. If he can get to that level, the Cowboys actually will have a defense that scares somebody. It's a little early to say that's going to happen. Let's see him get in some games. It's only July. But, to see him in full pads today, that's pretty promising stuff. So I was such a huge fan out of college. If he wouldn't have been injured, I think you could make the case he would have been a top 10 pick last year in the draft. So maybe they got value there. But, obviously, just like Sean Lee, the key will be, you know, can he be out there every Sunday? And can he stay out of the trainer's room? And if so, they might have something going there.
The unquestioned leader, Bob Sturm from Bad Radio on the ticket in Dallas with us from Cowboys camp. I heard Taco Charlton got into a fight with Dan Skipper. Is that true?
You know, nothing too terribly noteworthy. But, of course, everyone's out there getting after it a little bit and pushing and shoving. But nothing that I would say is so significant that everyone needs to be brought up to speed on it. But, I heard there were a little scuffle here and there, and I did not necessarily see it with my own eyes, so I don't want to tell you it was great, but I did hear there was a little boys will be boys going on, but nothing out of the ordinary.
So the godlike Bob Sturm with us, let's ask you about Elliott with all of his problems, but he's such a badass. I really don't care, to be honest with you, about his criminal problems, trials and accusations. And, I mean, this guy, it's like watching Dez all over again in terms of the publicity, good or bad. I mean, the guy every day is getting crucified for this or that. How chaotic is his existence?
Well, you know, again, it comes with the dinner here. If you're going to be a Dallas Cowboys star, you should be prepared for all of your actions to be scrutinized. And every time you do something a little bit crazy, it's going to not only be news, it's going to be national first story on SportsCenter caliber news. And you got to understand that. And I think Dez has begun to understand that, but he's been around like 7 years now. Zeke is still just a baby. He's certainly, I always describe it as I've never seen him say no to like anything. So if somebody says, hey, we got free tickets here, or we got a free room at this club or whatever, Zeke's there. Zeke is not staying in his house. There's no doubt about it. He likes being a star. And he may not feel the same way when he's 25 or 26 as he does when he's 21 or 22. But for now, he's going to enjoy all the proceeds of being Mr. Dallas Cowboy. And I don't know if that's always great, but I do know on Sunday he brings it at a insane level. I was not in support of taking a running back at number four. I thought I would have taken Jalen Ramsey. If Joey Bosa would have got there, I would have done that. I would have tried to get a difference maker on defense. They said, no, this running back is that good. And so I said, all right, you know, let's see what happens. Well, you know, after a season, you'd have to be insane to say that was a horrible pick. It was, you know, he's a difference maker, and it looks like he might be, you know, obviously Le'Veon Bell will have something to say about this, but he might already be the best running back in football. So that's pretty insane. And honestly, when you're that good, Scotty, you're willing to put up with a headache here or there that goes with it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. The Titan, Bob Sturm, one last question. You, Darvish, lit up tonight, 10 runs plus. He has given up runs in the first inning or something like that in 14 of 21 starts. Again tonight, getting tattoo-ed. but he's one of the hottest tickets in baseball at the deadline to be dealt. Are they going to trade him?
I don't think so, but and I also don't. I can only imagine what 10 runs does to his value. Most people here still hold out hope that he can be kept, especially with that new stadium being built and all that new cash the Rangers are rolling in. Let's keep the one decent pitcher you've been able to have around here and get his next contract going since you got that first one on such a nice deal. But, crazy things happen at the deadline. This is not the year for the Rangers. I know they hold out hope that they can make a run at that wild card, but they're just not a very good team this year for a lot of different reasons. So, if the Dodgers throw something crazy at them, maybe they jump in. But I've thought all along that they're going to keep them and try to do something this winter with them. I just, I don't know if he wants to hang around because, honestly, he hardly ever talks in public, so you're just trying to read his mind, and I don't know. I don't know where his head's at, to be honest with you.
There he is. All others pale in comparison to our friend Bob Sturm, the great Bob Sturm from the Ticket in Dallas, Bad Radio, out in Oxnard, prepping his body for another day in the sun at Cowboys training camp. He's lubing up tonight with sunblock 70. Today went out with a buck 10 on, trying to stay maintaining a fresh look all the way through camp without sunburn difficulties. Bob, always a pleasure. Thanks, buddy. Great job.
Scotty, you're the man. Thank you, man.
There he is, Bob Sturm out in Cali with Jerry Jones and the rest of the very expensive Forbes number one ranked Cowboys.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4CBS. Don't forget to get the I Am Scott Pharrell app free in the App Store. It's badass. And coming soon on the app, we'll stream on there as well. We'll do live video streams. You know what? I think by the time we get to Vegas, that'll be up and running, Carver High. So we'll break it out in Vegas. I'm going to tell the people at the I Am app that we want to start it in Vegas.
Yeah, there's a lot that we could do with it out there.
There is. Nudity, strippers, things of this nature.
There's a lot of things I won't let you put on there either, so we gotta be careful.
We will have full regalia on Carver High Party Moments on video in Las Vegas, including, do you remember when we got Adam Rank on the party scene out there, Mafia, from NFL Network at the Golden Gate? We'll have to break in your boy Carver High for a little 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., eat shrimp and get hammered with Derek and Nicole and Darren Banks, 2 to 5 a.m. style at the Golden Gate.
I heard about when Rank was partying with you guys, but unfortunately that was the day before I got out there last year. He left on that Sunday, so I missed him.
You will not miss.
I'm going to have to make sure our boy Adam Rank's going to be there that week so he can come and hang with us.
You better get him out there. We may have to give him a call. So we're going to be in Vegas, just to be clear, August 24th and 25th for the Mayweather-McGregor fight at the MGM. We'll be doing two shows all over North America from Vegas. And we'll have the biggest thing going out there, believe me. You're going to have Pharrell on the bench, Bill Ryder. We're all going to have it covered from CBS Sports Radio like no other. And I'm pretty sure those shows will be on in New York as well, Carver High. So we're going to be huge. Then we're doing a week at the D Casino Hotel downtown on Fremont Street with Derek Stevens on August 28th through September 1st. Five shows. That's the first week of college football season. And the fantasy draft is going on there, which is huge. It's the same day as the McGregor fight. And the next day, that weekend, they're having their fantasy draft blowout party all day. You can get a suite for up to 14 people, a draft kit. There's tons of TVs, cocktail service, food from Gold Spike, American Coney Island, and Nacho Daddy. Call the D sales, 702-388-2200. Bring your fantasy draft to Vegas to the D. And if you want to email them, sales@thed.com. Get in on it for availability and pricing. Call them. Book a room. Come see Pharrell live in Vegas. So in Vegas this weekend, Mafia, huge. Cormier, Jones. First of all, I love this today. They had a press conference, and the cocaine banter was just out of this world. John Jones saying that Cormier looks like a crackhead. Cormier said, I can look like a crackhead, but I've never actually been a crackhead like you, though. That is awesome. That is return of serve at the highest order. He said that Jones has been on steroids for most of his career. Jones denied that. These two guys hate each other's guts. Cormier said, if I don't win, this is no rivalry. The first time he beat me, it was in the most important moments, in the fourth and fifth rounds. The fourth round was his most dominant round, and in the fifth, he pretty much won on control, holding me and pushing me against the fence. Before beating his opponents was enough. After 182, he had to break them first. Because he got me in the championship rounds, I had to try to push my opponents to go even further if they made it that long. I had to see if, when faced with those types of scenarios again, where it's late in the fight and it's close, can I pull it out or am I going to fold like I did the first time? How do I stop Jones from doing that to me a second time? I take the initiative. I become the person that's pressing the fight in rounds 4 and 5. That started from the moment him and I walked into the octagon. I had to make a commitment to doing more in the training room so that I can do more in the fight. Well, Mafia, what do you think of the comments about the cocaine? There's a lot of people in the UFC, as I can attest, that throw that word crackhead around a lot. Didn't Dana called me a crackhead? And yeah, I don't do crack.
Nope.
But I wish I did. And I actually think that it's getting stale, all the crackhead comments that they throw around here, or the homophobia, or the hate, or the racism, or the, I mean, it is just, they're terrible. I mean, the UFC is becoming famous for their habitual racism and homophobia. Are they not? I mean, this is like, I mean, McGregor's the face of the UFC. He's out racially dropping bombs, and his and then Mayweather's throwing homophobia around. These guys, it's constant in the UFC now. Now they're everybody's a crackhead. Am I wrong?
It's ridiculous to throw that around like that, especially for a guy who's. This isn't like it's a 135 pound fight where these guys are like starving themselves. Some of them that are the bigger guys, like it's 205. You know, Cormier's never been accused of looking like a crackhead. The guy is a big guy. He's a guy who fought a heavyweight. It doesn't exactly come in all carved and chiseled for 205. So to say like crackhead with that guy, especially when you have a drug pass, it's just stupid because you're just giving him that fastball right down the middle to bring up your drug use. If you don't want that brought up, you know, you're trying to bury all these demons that you had. You're trying to move on from that and be a better man and all that stuff. Why would you bring up the one thing that's going to be easy for him to bring up if you talk about drugs?
So also, let me bring this up to you. Brock Lesnar against John Jones. They're already talking about this fight. So trust me, if they're talking about it already before this Cormier fight even goes down, here's what's going to happen. Jones will win the Cormier fight, and then he'll fight Brock Lesnar next. Two reputed drug lords fighting at heavyweight or light heavyweight. I mean, can he even get down to that weight?
He wouldn't get down. John Jones would go up. There's been talk a long time about him moving up to heavyweight at some point because he has such a long and lanky body that if he ever put like muscle on, he'd be the size of his brothers, but he's never bulked up like that. So, you know, we'll see if he actually makes a move for that fight. I mean, first of all, yeah, they, like you said, they both got popped on the same card for PEDs, so that'd be amazing that now they can put them on the one fight and see if both of these guys can pass a drug screening. But that's to be a problem because Lesnar is out of the testing program. In the middle of his suspension, he pulled out, said, I'm retired, I'm done, no longer has done the testing, no longer served his suspension. So if they wanted that fight to happen, he would have to come back, get back into the program, and serve out the rest of his suspension before they could do it. I don't know if that would happen before the end of the year.
All right, 855-212-4227. Scott in Grand Rapids, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scotty, about time talking to you. Let me get a shot of Jameson, please.
Can we get him some J-Mo? Shake it out.
Hopefully everybody's good. I just wanted to know an unbiased opinion because everything you get around here about the Tigers obviously has some weight with it lately. I just want to know your thoughts on what's happening now with them and what do you recommend or see happening in the future?
Well, I think that it's hard to say if they'll deal Verlander, but if I were them, I would do it. I mean, they absolutely stink, and they have to fix this team, and they have to get players on that team and they have to load up their farm system. It's now or never. Are they going to sit there and let Miggy and Verlander rot until they're like so over the hill it's not even funny and then never get anything for them? Carver High, honest to God, would you deal Verlander right now for a boatload of prospects?
I would 100%.
I mean, you got to do it. You guys are finished. You've had him there forever. He knows it's over. You know it's over. What are they waiting for? If they don't deal this guy by the deadline, I mean, they are going to be they'll regret this for years. I mean, they are doomed. The franchise is doomed. They got two guys on that payroll making, like, more than the entire city of Detroit. Every single person that's alive there making a living. They got two guys making more money than every single citizen of the entire city. I mean, honestly.
Which is why it's a little even harder to do, because Verlander makes so much cash, it could be hard to deal him.
I mean, my God. Deal him already. Just do it. Find a way. Give him away, for Christ's sakes. I'm scared to death. Minnesota hanging on 5-4 over the Dodgers. One out, runner on first, bottom eight, and I'm sitting on top of plus 190. Plus, Mafia told me I'm on a record binge tonight. The last time I checked, I was 11-2 in baseball picks. So we got a lot going on. We got another hour to go. Ballers lost in overtime tonight. Mafia blames Pharrell.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.